Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Our gospel reading for today comes in three parts. Now, it opens up with the disciples asking Jesus, who will be the greatest? After explaining to them the need to be like a child, the reading continues with a warning about sin and the perplexing words of our Lord to cut off the offending member of our body. It's a hand, it's a foot, or you pull out your eye. This section then closes with a brief parable about a shepherd who searches for a lost sheep. These three sections don't seem really to go together. Yet, as we see, they have one thing in common. As our reading opens, the disciples come asking about being the greatest. Nothing really new, and we still do that today. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest baseball player? The greatest country singer? Or who's the greatest wrestler? So the disciples are wanting to be the greatest disciple, the greatest in Christ's kingdom. How does Jesus answer them? He calls over a child and says to be like a little child, literally an about face. The disciples are heading in the wrong direction. Stop going that way. Stop thinking that way. In fact, unless you humble yourselves, you won't be the greatest in the kingdom. And in fact, you won't even be in the kingdom. Humble oneself. How do we do that? How do we humble ourselves? The disciples, like the Pharisees, were seeking a position of importance. But being in the kingdom means seeking a low estate. And in that low estate, when we are not trying to build ourselves up, God picks us up and uses us for His purpose and His glory. As Mary said when she heard from the angel Gabriel that she would be the mother of the Savior, she said, "He has regarded the low estate of His maiden and done great things to me." The picture of humility is a little clearer when we consider the last part of this section. And it's actually down in verse 10 when we can miss that because of the interceding information about the woes of sin. But rather than just before the parable of the shepherd and the lost sheep, Jesus returns briefly to illustrate the little child. We can see that this sentence follows up to our opening section because Jesus again mentions these little ones. So what does he say? Be careful, he says. Do not despise them. Now, despise does not mean to be to hate them or just totally dislike them. It means to look down on them or to disregard them, to conquer unimportant, that they are unimportant or unworthy. Who are these little ones, by the way? We always think of these little ones as little kids, you know, about the size of Adler. No, they are not just children, but the little ones in faith. That is what it says in verse 6. Remember, the little ones who believe in me, those new to the faith, those who are weak in their faith, those who are still learning the faith. Don't despise or look down on them. Instead of trying to be number one, and being the greatest, seek rather to be one. To be one with them. One with each other. Don't disconnect, but connect. The little ones are connected to God, for their angels are always beholding the face of God. And if they are important to God, who are we to regard them as unimportant? In the second section now, Jesus talks of the woes of sin. He tells us, if your hand sins against you, cut it off. For it is better for you to go through life with one hand than to go to hell with two hands. Jesus is not telling them to actually cut off our hands or cut off a foot or put out our eyes. Don't leave here now with the misconception that, you know, with that notion, okay? Well, then, what is he really saying in this text? Look closely and carefully. Jesus said to do that. If your hand sins against you, we may use our hands to sin, but is our hand the sin? No. We are the sinners, and we use our members to sin. It's not our hand. So cutting off your hand or poking out your eye won't cure the problem. How could it? Okay? You and I will still be there, and our sin will still be with us. So God the Father did not send his only Son, whom he loves, to execution and death for nothing. We cannot separate ourselves from our own sin. In Christ, he took our sin, the sin which separates us from God, that we might be the one, be with him and the Father. Not number one, but one, united together. Jesus is illustrating here really two points. First, that sin is real and serious business. You can't discount it at all. And we that ought to be willing to pay any price to be rid of it. Isn't humility easier than a price for amputation? I think so. Yet Your pride won't let us do it. It just won't. I know my pride gets in the way sometimes, easily when I least expect it. But thanks be to God. He has paid the price for us all. The second point that God is making values our unity as his church. We would never cut off our hand, cut off a member of our body, because we value our body. And our body is only our body as long as it is in one piece, united, together. So if we value our human body as to not cut off a member, how much more ought we to value the church? You understand? To value the church, the body of Christ, and cut off a member. Other fellow members are not sinning against you. They're not. They are not the cause of our sin any more than my hand or my eye is the cause of my sin. I am the cause of my sin, not my hand, my foot, or my eye. You are the cause of your own sin. And if we would not cut off our hand or poke out our eye or cut off our foot, then let us not cut off, disdain, or look down on our little brothers and sisters in Christ. So notice the warning about that. If we cut off our hand, we are crippled, but still enter into life. If, however, we cause a little one of the faith to stumble and fall away, then it would be better to have drowned in the sea. That brings us to the parable of the shepherd and the lost sheep. See, the shepherd has 100 sheep, so that's good. But he notices one is missing. So he goes and finds the sheep, and he rejoices greatly. More so than over the 99 he still has. Well, why? It is because that particular sheep is so much more valuable than the others? No. Each sheep is valuable. That's meaning all of us are valuable to our Lord. You, all of us, each are valuable to God. The shepherd rejoices because the sheep was not where it should be. But now it is back. You see, he is now united with the shepherd and with the sheep. They're together. It is unity. It is unity in the church. The flock is now unified. It is one again. One, not number one, just one, unified. Trying to be number one and doing what I want to do doesn't make any difference. We want to be one together, not doing our separate things all over the place, but to be one with each other. Some have said it's lonely at the top, and in seeking to be better than everyone else, to be number one, we can find that one is the loneliest number. But Christ has redeemed us. He has redeemed his church. He has taken the sin that separates us from the Father and from each other. That is, by his grace and his love, we may love him and love one another. One body, one flock, one shepherd. Yes, one is the loveliest number. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.